The Cavalcade of America, presented by DuPont. This evening, the Cavalcade of America, presented by DuPont, brings you two dramatic stories about a part of American life that touches nearly all of us every day, journalism. Right now, there are nearly 2,000 newspapers published daily in the United States. Their combined strength, of course, represents a tremendous national influence. And their methods of news gathering, printing, and distribution are models for publishers throughout the world. It may be news to some of you that chemical research, as carried on by DuPont Laboratories and others, has played no small part in the growth of publishing. The chemist has helped with improvements in ink, in paper, in the making of the metal plates from which the printing is done, in the improvement of photography, which makes the news pictures of today so much better than they used to be. In fact, most of the objects you see and touch and use every day owe either their improvement or existence to the untiring work of the research chemist. His work is well described by the DuPont Pledge, Better Things for Better Living Through Chemistry. The DuPont Cavalcade Orchestra plays as an overture selections from Sigmund Rosenberg's operetta, Maytime. Thank you.
went to the last store. I told her I asked you to finish up early this morning. I might find a job.
I'm sorry, we've got an errand boy.
Oh, I want to work as a printer.
You're a printer?
I'm a quick printer. I shorten fast.
I'm sorry, young man. We've got all our hands.
All right.
Hey, come back here. What's your hurry? Say, are you the lad who was telling me about that was going up and down the street yesterday to all the print shops, asking if they needed a hand and then walking right out?
Yes, I was.
You're from the country, aren't you?
Come on.
I'm from New Hampshire myself. Thought I ought to know that walk of yours, where you talk. But your clothes threw me off. Where'd you get those funny clothes?
These store clothes. Paid $5 for them.
Can't imagine a store that would sell them to you. Some merchants have got no conscience. How much money you got left?
$3.98. Gave myself a week to find a job in New York.
How far is it from here to your home?
About 300 miles. Of course, walking back, I stop and ask for jobs on the way.
Of course, you wouldn't bother telling folks just what experience you had at Britain.
I wouldn't like to brag unless I had to.
Well, I'll tell you something. We New Englanders all feel that way, and I kind of understand you. Come on in the shop.
I don't want to waste your time.
Come on. See that further door over there, the one that's open?
Yeah?
You go on through it. You'll find a case all set up. It's a Bible in different languages. Parallel columns.
Don't sound so bad.
All right, you try it. Yesterday, I fired the fifth man who worked on it. Get busy right away.
It's for this door?
Maybe I've done something smart, maybe something dumb. Morning, Mr. West.
Good morning.
What do you think? I've had a new hand for you already.
Splendid, Cooper.
We got a phone agency?
Well, no.
He was sitting on the doorstep just now as I come in.
Sitting on the doorstep?
He's gawky and thin and queer looking, Mr. West. Rather hasty, but... there he is in the composing room. Take a look.
You have that scarecrow?
Well, look, Mr. West. He's starting to work like he knows his way. Where are you going?
Well, I'm going to fire him.
Look here, young man.
Yes, sir.
Go on, I'm talking. I can talk while I'm sitting
front. Say, you're doing that column very fast.
Ought to. I've been reading scripture since I was 6 years old.
I don't even have to look at this copy.
Listen, I can quote it from memory.
For as much as many have taken in hand to draw up a narrative concerning these matters, which have been fulfilled among us,
never mind, I'm convinced. What's your name?
Hans Greeley.
I'd like to be a newspaper writer.
But right now, I want to be a good fast printer.
Looks to me like you're that already, young man. I'll go and put your name right on the payroll. From the time Horace Greeley started working in John T. West's shop, the ambitious young printer managed to stay in New York. It meant long hours and small pay with frequent change of job. But Horace Greeley finally succeeded in saving enough to start a small printing business. He then began to publish a newspaper, and won notice for its fine style and its honesty, the New York Tribune. 2 years after the Tribune's establishment, in 1841, in Horace Greeley's office, a man from his circulation department waits to speak to him.
Mr. Greeley.
Hmm?
Mr. Greeley, sir, I've been standing here for 20 minutes.
Oh, where is that? I think you're too busy writing. I don't notice when people talk.
Oh, how's your arm, sir?
Composing room said you've written so much in the local elections that your arm has gone bad again.
It's holding up all right, Edward.
It breaks my fingers every hour. Only 5 more columns to write, mate.
Good.
I hope you go out to dinner with me, sir.
I think I've had dinner.
Oh, no, you haven't. Honestly, why do you say you haven't been out of the building since 8 this morning?
I don't see how I can take the time, Edward.
What's the matter? Trouble in the business department?
Well, you're
hiring too many dispatch riders. We can't carry them.
Edward, news in the Tribune must be fresh news.
More recent than any other sheet in the city. That means fast horses and dispatch riders sent with reporters to cover all the news at any distance. I hope the railroads and fast horses will give our readers the very latest news.
What's the leader on the front page tomorrow?
I'm waiting for the Washington dispatches right now, for whom they have given a speech.
A speech?
In the Senate. Listen, Mr. Greeley, there were 3 robberies in town today and a murder.
I hear the gossip, Edward. But I only printed on the inside pages.
Well, it was an interesting murder, Mr. Greeley.
It was sordid. Jealous man shooting his wife.
The other papers are going to get a big space.
This isn't the other papers, thank you.
Oh, Mr. Greeley, won't you listen to us, please? Won't you try making this paper over to appeal to a big general public?
No, Edward. I've got a bigger scheme. I'm going to teach everybody in the cities, on the farms, on the frontiers, to like important news. This country's growing up, Edward. It doesn't want any more colonial gazettes with local gossip, but big newspapers with news of the world.
No, all right, Mr. Greeley, who's that?
Well,
which of you is Horace Greeley?
I am.
Why? You write most of the stories in your newspaper, don't you?
At least those that insult people.
I only insult people who need it. In this paper this morning, you say that our political club, the Spartan Baton, beat up several people over by the polls in the Sixth Ward.
And so you did.
It was a disgrace. We want a retraction tomorrow.
You do, eh?
Where do you want it printed? Right smack on the front page.
Fine.
You evidently believe in the freedom of the press. Now, if anything happens that it isn't there, you know the Sixth Ward, Mr. Greeley. The boys will drop up here and smash this office till you won't know it from a heap of sawdust. I warned you.
There's our leader for tomorrow, Edwards.
A retraction?
No.
A bold-faced list of the leaders of this so-called Spartan band who started a riot in the Sixth Ward yesterday.
What?
And an attempt to suppress what they were up to.
But, Mr. Greeley,
by tomorrow, my men should have the story. Election fraud, probably. I'm tired of the hooliganism and graft of the Sixth Ward, Edwards, and so is New York. This is what the Tribune is for. To serve the public. Threatened by the hoodlum element in New York's then notorious Sixth Ward, Greeley's reporters were frightened, but the editor himself paid no attention. Gathering evidence that the so-called Spartan Band had been engaged in election frauds, he frightened them out of attacking his office. A few days later, at the Tribune, well, Mr. Greeley, you won this time. Your story on the Sixth Ward election riot sold out the issue.
And you did outsell the other penny papers' crime news?
This time, yes. You blocked out the Spartan Band, and I suppose if you've uncovered election frauds, well, that'll take care of the next week or so. But you know, sir, we ought to have something, down to earth for the public at large. And by the public at large, you mean the policeman at the corner, your wife's dressmaker, stalker?
No, I mean anyone who isn't trained to understand politics like you do.
Queens Tribune you have there?
Yes, sir.
Would you mind leaving it here, please? We're short on office copies.
Well, I bought this copy myself for service.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here's your penny.
But I've not read it yet, sir.
Are you bound to make a profit, Bridget? Here you are, here's 2 cents.
Equipment and what men you need. Go into Africa. Right.
automatically to help you stay on your feet? I don't know. My head's whirling from fever today, too. I never guessed that Africa was quite like this. Interminable grasslands, jungle, swamps, terrible distances. And the feeling that we're alone in a lost world. Nobody remembers us. And that fellow who hired you has forgotten about you, too. No, Bennett the real is better man. He won't forget me while he's waiting for my story. We've been hundreds of miles now. We might be hunting a needle in a haystack. How long will we keep on marching? Well, Sean, we'll pitch camp for tonight. Terrific play, Mr. Bennett. And the public's going to expect a complete solution of the mystery.